This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
Bob Fetrakis and Connie Goodell Newton with The Other Side of the News on 98.3, 102.1.
And this is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, and I've got the other side of my law firm with me, Connie Goodell Newton.
Here I am.
And she's also on the Free Press board, and this show is brought to you in part by the Columbus Free Press, freepress.org. Connie has just recently completed a project to look at all 88 counties in the Buckeye State and find out how many voters have they purged since the last election. And the answer is, Connie?
Well, I did a public records request of all the 88 county boards of elections and found out that over 1 million voter records have been purged in Ohio in the past 4 years. So basically, counties, most counties do their purges every 2 years in the odd numbered years. So 2009 and 2011 were the main years that the boards of elections would have done purges. And in those 2 years, they purged over 1 million. That's incredible, partly because when I did this project in 2008, also asking about, you know, the same question, how many voter records have you purged in the past 4 years? I think then it was
1.25 million.
So basically, the boards of elections are purging over 1 million voters every 4 years. It's incredible.
And not surprisingly, most of the purges are being done in the large urban counties that vote overwhelmingly Democratic. Hence, in a swing state like Ohio, it could influence the outcome of the election.
Right. So Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati led with Cleveland. Cuyahoga County had 267,000 purges. Franklin County removed 93,000 voters. And in Hamilton County, they removed over 65,000 voters. And that comes to 426,000 just for those three counties.
And disproportionately, the voters being purged are in the central city, overwhelmingly people of color, black voters, minority voters, those very likely to vote for the reelection of Obama, as well as the Democratic Party. Now, some of these voters are legitimately purged. In Cuyahoga, over 40,000, you know, died. Fine. But some of these other voters, Connie, as you know from your research, didn't respond to a letter sent to their house, or it was returned, or hadn't voted in the last two federal election cycles.
Right.
Which in some counties, they don't purge anyone.
Right.
And we listed those counties. So, I mean, essentially, some of these people still live in the county. Some are poor, and as you've pointed out to me, may have simply moved a block over, and now they can't vote.
Right. There are a lot of reasons why a voter record might get purged. Some of them are legitimate, and some of them are not. Certainly, if somebody dies, they're no longer eligible to vote. You have to be living to vote. And so those people can legitimately be taken off the voter rolls. If somebody is convicted of a felony and incarcerated, during the time that they're incarcerated, they can also be taken off the voter rolls. However, felons, just because you have a felony on your record doesn't mean you can't vote. So anybody out there listening who has a felony on your record, you are allowed to vote. If you're on probation or out on parole, you are allowed to register to vote and to vote. So don't let anybody tell you that you can't. So also what Bob is talking about is the NVRA, the National Voting Registration Act. some voters were removed because they were sent a mailing in the mail, maybe a postcard or an envelope, and maybe it was returned to the Board of Elections as undeliverable. So then after that, they may not have voted in two federal elections, which in some places that could be counted as two presidential elections. So that would be a span of
8 years.
8 years or 4 years from like 2004 to 2008 or whatever.
Yeah, and some of them are only doing 2 years. They're
right.
Counting the presidential and the congressional as two
federal elections. And then they will remove those people as, you know, I guess, inactive. But the thing is, you know, a lot of students move every 3 months sometimes. If you're college age, you may have that experience of moving frequently, not always updating your address. Or if you have a permanent address with mom and pop back home, you know, you may not always update your campus address. So it's possible that people move from, you know, 15th Avenue to 12th Avenue or Chittenden or something like that, don't get their mail, and could be removed from the voter rolls for inactivity when actually they are politically active and still, most importantly, still eligible to vote.
And again, if we were in Europe, particularly the European Union, Connie, I know as someone who has traveled to Europe, is that the assumption is voting is a universal right that you never lose. They don't purge you from voter registration. They try to find you. The government knows where many of these people live. Some are in nursing homes. They've moved from their house to a nursing home. And the government is sending them a Social Security check. Others are getting Section 8. They move from one location to the other. Some of these people are on disability or getting some form of social welfare. The federal government and the state government know where virtually all of these people are. The vast majority of them that are verged for non-participation or from a postcard or a mailing to their house are still living in the same county. In a computer age, you don't need to purge people. There's a hard drive you can keep their names on and actually encourage Americans to vote. Why do you think they're doing this? I mean, do you have any analysis of what's really going on here?
Well, you know, Bob, we're liberal, progressive, leftist
type
people.
The
other side of the news. And I mean, the obvious analysis from our perspective is certainly discrimination. You know, the people in power don't necessarily want everybody to vote, even though, you know, this is supposed to be a democracy where we have the right to vote. It seems pretty obvious that, you know, when they're making basically efforts to disenfranchise people, that is what they're doing. They're trying to keep people from voting for political reasons, you know, not necessarily for administrative reasons, but politically, they don't want black people to vote. They don't want a lot of students and young people to vote because they tend to vote Democratic or Green.
Well, and you know, Connie, that the mass marketers who sell prayer rugs or, you know, debit cards with high interest or come to our check cashing plate can find these people. They don't lose their address if they move to the next block. Mass marketing, corporate capitalism, merchandisers know exactly where these people live. So if the private sector can do it, why doesn't the government? Why are we purging voters in Ohio, more than a million voters, and we don't have to?
Well, you know, so I think, you know, some people would say, well, the burden is on the voter to make sure that they are properly registered and everything. But why make it overly burdensome to register to vote and to keep your registration? There may be people who are living at the same place who haven't moved, who, you know, are still being purged illegitimately. And
like that nun in Indiana, when she showed up and they said, well, oh my God, you don't have a driver's license. or a state ID until like, I'm a nun. I've lived in this nunnery forever.
Right. So I don't think that the burden is necessarily on the government to know where everybody lives or to know their proper address. But, you know, if I go and register to vote and I'm voting at my local fire station on Euclid Avenue in Indianola or whatever, that used to actually be one of my voting locations, and I move a few blocks and so my voter location changes to somewhere else, you know, why not... you know, just let me vote at the old location if I haven't voted, you know, change my address. Or, you know, it's just, I think that, you know, as a citizen, I have the right to have a political voice. And what they're doing when they make the requirements overly burdensome, whether it's by state ID, having some kind of ID, so you can't just go in anymore with a utility bill and show, yes, here's my name on the utility bill. I do actually live here. I am a real person who pays bills and, you know, holds down a job, you know.
Right. And people don't take out utility in their name
no.
to commit voter fraud.
Absolutely not. No, that would be over the top. So, I mean, you know, it's just basically they're making it overly burdensome for people to vote. They're trying to take people off the voter rolls, or it has that effect anyway. They're taking people off the voter rolls who, you know, are minding their own business, living their lives, want to show up to the polls every year and vote. So I don't think that the burden is necessarily on the government to keep track of everybody, but so what if we don't kind of keep track of where everybody's living? So you move a couple blocks away and you go to your old voter location to vote. What's the big deal? You know, as a citizen, I have the right to be politically active and to be enfranchised. So I really think, you know, it's possible that they're trying to take that away from people, or it certainly has that effect that, you know, people get disenfranchised.
Well, 14 states have passed 25 new laws that go after felons who aren't in prison, who have served their time, who go after people without a state ID or a driver's license. And many people don't have driver's license. When I lived in the city of Detroit in the 1980s, the 1990 census said 40% of the people in the city of Detroit did not have driver's license. They couldn't afford cars. They were reliant on buses. They didn't have high-paying jobs. Are you going to burden those people because, or make them go out and pay money they don't have to get a driver's license? And a lot of this stuff is coming from ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council,
yeah.
Which is a far right-wing group.
And we're hearing more and more about ALEC these days.
No, absolutely. And their goal is to push far-right agendas. They don't believe in democracy. They don't want poor people voting. They don't want poor people of color voting. And they're putting this into legislation. This is the new Jim Crow.
So, yeah, I think some arguments about against letting everybody vote is, you know, how can you, you know, let uneducated people vote and choose their leaders, et cetera. Well, you know, we have public education in this country for a reason. We want everybody to be educated so that they can participate in the political process. That's another problem that's happening right now is the breakdown of our public education system. You know, I think I've been pretty shocked as I found out how, like, about the literacy rate in Columbus. It seems like we have a lot of people who are not very literate, but these people have life experience. They know what they want. They know what they need. They're not incredibly stupid people, even though the city of Columbus may have failed to educate them. You know, I think that we owe it to our brothers and sisters in Columbus and the sons and daughters of Ohio to educate them, to allow them to vote, and, you know, to not send people to prison and criminalize everything, you know, because this is where we're from. This is all we've got. It's Ohio.
For the love of God, the Buckeye State, why are we purging a million voters? And there's some counties, generally rural, Republican-dominated counties, that simply don't purge anybody.
Right. So there were there were several counties that said, oh, we don't purge. We don't have any records to send you. So I was asking for the public records of, you know, how many people did you purge? What voters were they? You know, their voter affiliation sometimes comes up. Sometimes it was just a list of names. That was all fine. And about four of the counties told me that they didn't purge anybody. And do we have a list of those?
Yeah, the counties. Yeah, they. It came through. It's in the Free Press article, and I think we got to do a station ID right now.
Right. This is Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton with the other side of the news on WCRS 98.3 102.1. Yeah, so those counties that don't purge are Hancock, Huron, Sandusky, and Wood counties. So those are largely rural counties where you said they're predominantly Republican.
Yeah, for the most part. And it's interesting. So if you're in a Republican area, you don't get purged. If you're in an urban area, particularly in, and what we found the last time in 2008, same thing in 2004, the more the urban area was black, the higher the rate of purge. In Cleveland, the city of Cleveland, 24.93% of every voter was purged during the 2004 election.
So it's a quarter, about one in four?
Yeah, in Cleveland. But interestingly, in the counties that were almost, you know, 90% black or more, some of the purge rates were a couple of them were over 50%,
right?
Half of the people, many of them who still lived in that precinct, had moved down the street, didn't answer a letter from the Board of Election, you know, were hiding from landlords and people harassing them over bills collector.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they sent stuff back saying undeliverable, and they're purged instead of keeping them on the voting rolls and letting them show proof of where they live. For God's sake, in Wisconsin, they have same-day registration. Why don't you just come in with your new utilities, something, the 17 pieces of ID we allowed the people of Iraq to vote with, and show, here I am. I'm an American citizen. I voted before at this address. I moved a block away. Here's my utility bill. Allow me to vote. This is America. Voting should be sacred. It's not. It is sacred in the European Union. It is sacred in Iraq, but it's not sacred in the United States.
So, you know, a lot of people, when they think about racism or prejudice, they think that it exists on an individual level. It's individual hate or something. And they fail to see the systematic nature of oppression and racism. And this is a very good example of the systematic nature of oppression and racism. This is institutionalized racism. You know, it's a system that is oppressive to black people, to students, to young people. It's very political, and it's very widespread.
If the voter suppression bill passes, we're voting on a Republican, really an ALEC inspired, that American Legislative Exchange Council bill in Ohio. It's been voted into law by the Republican dominated legislature. It's on the ballot as a referendum. If it passes, 900,000 more Ohioans will be purged. Anyone who doesn't have a state ID, which you have to pay for, or a driver's license, including 40% of those over the age of 65, the elderly who don't drive anymore, some who live in assisted living and in nursing homes, will have lost their right to vote despite paying taxes their entire life. It's really outrageous what is happening in Ohio.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have the right to vote whether we can prove it or not, right? So, I mean, I would just... you know, I would like to see people's right to vote be respected, whether or not they have a state ID.
And there may have to be a lawsuit, who knows? Connie and I may get involved with that ourselves. In
who
Michigan
knows?
In 2008, yeah. They were purging 30,000 people a year, year after year, 120,000 voters between the 2004 and 2008 election. And then the American Civil Liberties Union sued, and the federal court judge said, stop it. You can't just do these mass purges. And target, one of the blackest cities in America. You're not doing it in Holland, Michigan. You're not doing it in Muskegon, Michigan. You're doing it in Detroit, which is overwhelmingly black, just like Cleveland. So a federal judge ruled that it was discriminatory to target Detroit for purging.
So, surprisingly, this public records request that I've done has been a success, with all 88 counties reporting this time. The next public records request that I'm going to be doing, which is a repeat from a couple years ago, is going to be asking about the private companies, the vendors who service the voting machines and provide the voting machines and computers for the boards of elections. The interesting thing about some of those companies is that they are right-wing fundamentalist Christians, Bob.
Yeah, the Triad, which in 57 counties maintains the records, maintains the electronic voting system, and in many cases the electronic poll books that purge people, are hardcore right-to-lifers, the Rapp family. And they're known for their work in the Right to Life movement. And they will be taking care of the hardware and the software in the vast majority of Ohio counties, particularly in the Republican-dominated rural areas, those areas which, shockingly, when they were maintained in the 2004 election, came out different than the exit polls. The exit polls showed Kerry. People coming out said they voted for Kerry. In many cases, a 5% shift. That people, 5% more, said they voted for Kerry. And then the actual vote count was outside the margin of error, an unexplained shift to George Bush, particularly in the key county that the Rapp family of Triad assisted in. They also have another company that's very famous. They're the ones that brought us the butterfly ballot in Florida in 2000 that caused essentially 10,000 Jewish people to vote for Pat Buchanan, who admitted the design was wrong and they probably weren't his vote.
Oh,
so
brother.
They actually also are affiliated and partial owners of the company that gave the infamous butterfly ballot. Also, Smart Tech, Jeff Averbeck, he comes out of Pathways Press, which is Pentecostal, evangelical, right-wing press, and it's his company that did the final vote tabulations for Ohio during the 2004 election, the funny numbers that were so complained about. So you've got private companies, private vendors, working in the hardware and software and tabulating votes in Ohio. And we want to get to the bottom of this.
So, one reason that voting rights activists encourage people to ask for paper ballots is because there's a paper trail of who has voted for which candidates. On the other hand, if you use computers to vote, it's so easy to manipulate those numbers and to change the data after the fact, or to insert data cards into the voting machines themselves and change the vote. So the potential for fraud using electronic voting machines is so much greater. Then you have the highly politicized issue of abortion that people feel very sentimental about. And you get people working for these companies that feel extremely sentimental about the abortion issue, and they're willing to, you know, not play fairly and to compromise a fair vote, the very basis of our democracy, in order to save unborn babies, because they feel sentimental about that political issue.
And they
say
it is a holocaust. They refer to this holocaust of
baby
unborn
holocaust.
Babies. So if you've got the most hardcore right-to-life people, those that assassinate doctors that perform abortions and burn down abortion clinics.
They're willing to go to very extreme lengths.
And believe they're following God's law, not man's law. Why would you let them tamper with and, quote, maintain the computers, the hardware and the software in Ohio? It
right.
just seems, and then to hide behind private, proprietary, you know, trade infringements and say you can't look at our source code, you can't look at what we're doing in these machines because it's protected by trade secrets.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to commit fraud morally. It's morally much easier to commit fraud than it is to gun down abortion doctors if you don't believe in abortion, right? So, just saying.
Well, no, these are, you know, if you thought, and these people, that's their perspective. They believe it. You know, it's they're with every you know, fiber in their and muscle in their body and every sense of what's right and belong. They believe there's an unborn baby holocaust. Are these the people that should be out counting the votes secretly? The software, the hardware. I mean, these people believe. Look, many of us have said, you know, if we had a chance, it's a standard ethics question. Would you have shot Hitler so there'd be no Holocaust?
Sure.
The vast majority of people say yes. So if you believe there's an unborn baby Holocaust, there's this mass killing by Democrats, and would you tamper with the voting machines?
Well,
or the central tabulator,
right, why
to
not?
Save unborn babies from a Holocaust.
Yeah, you don't even have to shoot somebody. You can just commit fraud. So, you know, it's
fraud
plausible.
In the name of God.
Fraud in the name of God. You know, and I don't know, the unfortunate thing that I see about that is, I mean, I feel that the Republican link between abortion and money-making Republicans is that all those new children who are coming are soldiers to fight in wars. They're new consumers to buy products, and to put in prisons and to make money off of the prison industrial complex. They're consumers, they're soldiers, and they're wage slaves. So, you know, you may be saving a baby, a fetus from not being born, but they are being funneled into prisons, wage slavery, war, and killing other people, and mindless consumerism.
So, Triad, Smart Tech, Jeff Averbeck, Todd Rapp, and the Rapp family, the hardcore right-to-lifers, are the people maintaining, controlling the voter apparatuses in Ohio. What are we going to do about it? You know, we're going to have our election protection.
Yeah.
In the past, we've been held by a community festival. Sadly, we didn't make the cut this time. We did get a letter saying, go to grant writing school. But we were sort of surprised. And so if anyone's out there with the community festival, we should treat election protection as a top priority, and the Free Press, I would argue, has the best record in the nation of ensuring voters and securing their right to vote.
Yes, our next public records request will be requesting records about Smart Tech Triad and the other vendors that are being used around Ohio.
So if people want to get involved, go to freepress.org, email us at truth@freepress.org. Because we're going to be out there videoing the vote. Connie's going to be collecting stuff all over the state. And we're getting the sign-off. We're running out of time here. But say the magic words.
Yep. This is Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton with the other side of the news on WCRS 98.3 102.1.
And this is Bob Fitrakis saying, fight for your right to vote.
And party.